Imagine waking up one morning to discover you've inherited an empire. For Maya Drajar, this isn't a dream, but a bewildering reality. At 18, this half-goblin son of the Elven Emperor finds himself thrust from isolated exile into the imperial throne room after his father and three elder brothers perish in an airship crash. Having endured a decade of cruelty under his guardian Setharis following his goblin mother's death, Maya possesses neither the education nor connections needed to rule. Yet, as the Unthylanese court's labyrinthine politics unfold around him, something unexpected emerges. Beneath his uncertainty lies a compassionate heart and surprising political instinct that might just make him the emperor the Elflands never knew it needed. The imperial court proves a wilderness more treacherous than any forest. Maya finds himself surrounded by unfamiliar faces with hidden agendas. From the efficiency-minded secretary Tsevit to his perpetually disapproving bodyguard, Besheller. His residence, the Alsethmarit, offers no privacy, with open staircases and servants who drop to their knees at his approach. Court prejudice follows him everywhere, as his father had spread rumors about his bad blood and supposedly mad goblin mother. Yet, Maya's compassion sets him apart from his predecessor. When he insists on attending the funeral for the airship's crew, telling his guards their deaths weigh no lighter on the earth than our fathers, he signals a revolutionary belief in the dignity of all people regardless of station. Small moments of connection sustain him, the Barizet's ambassador addressing him as kinsman, acknowledging his goblin heritage, or a goblin gardener teaching him traditional knot patterns that reconnect him to his mother's culture. The clocksmith's proposal for a bridge spanning the Eistundartha River becomes Maya's first significant policy initiative. More than mere infrastructure, this bridge would revolutionize trade throughout the empire, particularly benefiting common citizens who currently face dangerous river crossings. Traditional nobles, led by the influential Lord Poshavar, opposed the project as a disruption to the established social hierarchy. At an elaborate dinner party, Maya faces his first real political test. When Poshavar attempts to dismiss him with condescending remarks about his youth and inexperience, Maya demonstrates unexpected verbal dexterity. His measured responses on subjects from ancient philology to military strategy earn the elder statesman's grudging respect. So the kitten has claws after all. Though Poshavar maintains his opposition to the bridge, he agrees to ensure the clocksmiths receive a fair hearing, a small but crucial victory, showing Maya that change, while difficult, is possible within rigid imperial structures. As winter night approaches, Maya's growing confidence shatters when he's violently awakened to find his loyal guard unconscious and himself seized by imperial armsmen, men sworn to protect the imperial family, now turned traitors. They drag him to face the architects of the coup, his ambitious sister-in-law Shaveen, and the manipulative Lord Chancellor Chavar, who demand he abdicate in favor of Shaveen's young son Idra. When Maya insists on speaking with Idra directly, the young prince demonstrates remarkable integrity. Standing before his mother and the Lord Chancellor, Idra's voice rings clear. "We will not do it." Despite Shaveen's fury and Shavar's desperate attempts to salvage their plan, Idra remains resolute, even countermanding his mother's orders to her armsmen. The standoff ends when the Imperial Guard breaks through, summoned by the wounded servant Nemer, who had dragged himself to the pneumatic message station, leaving a trail of blood, loyalty that stands in stark contrast to the knight's betrayals. In the aftermath, an even more personal betrayal comes to light. Dajis, one of Maya's own bodyguards, was complicit in the plot, necessitating his ritual suicide as punishment for breaking his sacred oath. On Maya's 19th birthday, he wakes to an Alsethmarit transformed by towering mountains of gifts, a stark visual representation of his new status that leaves him momentarily overwhelmed. Having spent previous birthdays in near-complete isolation, this outpouring of attention feels almost surreal. When he asks what all these people expect in return, his secretary's simple reply that they merely wish him happiness moves him deeply. The Winter Night Ball marks the height of the winter social season. Maya presides over the festivities dressed in silver and diamonds that make him appear like moonlight on snow. From his elevated throne, he observes with satisfaction as nobles and commoners share dances, a mixing of social classes unthinkable under his father's reign. The joyous atmosphere shatters when Eshevis Tethamar launches a sudden assassination attempt, lunging at Maya with a concealed dagger, only to be stopped by Maya's loyal guards. This violent episode unlocks the mystery of Verena Chabel's death. The sabotage device that brought down the Imperial airship was planted by adherents of a dangerous philosophy, suggesting men can achieve godhood through violence, with connections leading directly to House Tethamata. As his reign stabilizes, Maya builds meaningful connections with those around him. With his nephew, Idra, he shares understanding of the boy's reluctance to become emperor. With his sister, Videro, he spends an evening watching an eclipse from her observatory, where she speaks of female intellectuals who believe women can and should do the same intellectual work as men. With his betrothed, Citiro Seredin, he develops unexpected warmth as she teaches him to dance. Though not conventionally beautiful, with her nose too long and her chin too weak, her sharp, kind eyes captivate him. Their relationship progresses to comfortable teasing and genuine smiles. On the first day of spring rains, the Korajas finally approves the bridge over the Istandartha. When Lord Deshahar suggests naming it after Verena Chibel, Maya instead proposes the Wisdom Bridge to honor all who died in the airship crash. Afterward, Savet remarks that people will call him Edraha Sivar the Bridge Builder, a title Maya embraces, reflecting on all the relationships he has built. In a world designed to crush individuality and enforce rigid hierarchies, Maya's greatest strength proves to be his compassion. Despite his isolated upbringing and the cruelty he endured, he refuses to perpetuate this cycle when given power. Instead, he seeks to understand others and build connections across divisions. His physical appearance, gray skin, goblin eyes, features blending elven and goblin traits, makes him a living embodiment of connection between two often opposed peoples. What he initially sees as a liability gradually becomes a unique perspective that allows him to question entrenched traditions. The bridge symbolizes Maya's reign perfectly, a physical manifestation of his desire to connect rather than divide. By naming it the Wisdom Bridge instead of after his father, he honors all who perished, recognizing their equal value. The story's power lies in its quiet revolution, suggesting that perhaps the most radical act in a world of power politics isn't conquest, but compassion, not strength through isolation, but through connection. Through Maya's journey, we discover that the most transformative bridges are built of understanding and empathy.